If you will turn with me to Luke chapter 3, that'd be mighty kind of you. And we will start in verse 1. Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip was tetrarch of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Lysianus, and tetrarch of Abilene. Okay. In the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every ravine will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be brought low. The crooked will become straight, and the rough roads smooth. And all flesh will see the salvation of God. Raise your hand if you have decorated your house yet for Christmas. Raise your hand if you hadn't got there yet. That's okay. We decorated. I say we decorated. Carrie Hogan and Carrie's mother put up our Christmas tree yesterday, and it looks great. But I have to be honest, I was kind of being a baby about it. If you know me, you know Christmas is kind of this big thing for me. I'm a big Christmas guy. And yesterday was like the latest that we've ever put up our Christmas stuff. And so with all this, the craziness of life, we haven't had the opportunity. We were trying to last week, but just everything kept coming up, and so we hadn't had time. And so I think it was Thursday, which was, what is that, the 3rd of December? I mentioned to Carrie, I'm like, that's it. Let's just not even do it. It's not even worth it now. And even to the point of Harry and Hogan, we're like, seriously, Dad? Like, I went to that extreme. I'm a baby with it. But we got it up, and we're excited, and it looks great. And as we all know, that for Christmas, that's what we do all these things for. We put all this effort into whether you've got outdoor lights, whether you've got Christmas trees, wreaths, garland, all the different stuff we put and prepare, you know, for it seems like a few days of hard work to celebrate Christmas. And we as a church here have chosen for what, Doc, 10, 12 years to celebrate, participate in the season of Advent. Which is the 4 weeks before actually Christmas. And so we celebrate to do a few things. One is to kind of, connect ourselves to those pre-Jesus and to think about what was going on when they've always heard that this Savior was coming, but never was really able to experience, to see it face to face, and what they were thinking. Were they hopeless, thinking this is never going to happen? What it was. And then the second is to almost kind of think about, okay, well, what if that never would have happened? What if we sit there and we always heard these things and then Jesus still hadn't come? How would we be? Who would we be? How would our world look? It was interesting. We were talking in Sunday school today about how, obviously there's a lot of madness and craziness going on in our world. But one of the people that come to our class said, you know, he actually read this big article about all the violence and everything, and it was like actually in America, whether it's gun violence or what, it's actually down. And so it's one of those where it does seem like some things are getting better. Whether you call that just luck or whether you call that the kingdom being ushered in, that's your call. But it's that idea of trying to think, okay, what if he didn't? So we have time to think about that, and then understand also in Advent, knowing, okay, he did come, and how do we, as followers of Jesus, get to share that with the world and say that it is such a great thing that Jesus did come. And because he came, it makes all the difference in the world. And so these are kind of things that we encourage all of you to just kind of think about. I know it's hard to sit and think about something, especially during this season. But those are the things that the reason why possibly Advent was started, for us to sit and think about all of these things. And so we find ourselves today with John the Baptist. John the Baptist was this crazy dude. He ate a lot of funky stuff. He dressed weird. He lived out in the wilderness, and he was just this weird guy. But this guy that God chose to come a little before Jesus and, quote, prepare the way. And he came and prepared the way, and what does it say? Brought repentance, pushed forward repentance, forgiveness of sin through baptism. And so before we go any further, we need to understand, maybe a little bit remind ourselves. I know all of us, most of us understand this, but remind ourselves that when we're talking about repentance, we're not talking about just saying sorry. You know, if you have children, you see your children do something that they shouldn't be, that's their immediate response, sorry. Because they think, sorry? Then I'm good. Okay, everything's okay now. I said I'm sorry for knocking that dude in the eye, but now we're good. It's all okay. And that's not how repentance works. Repentance is the idea of saying, the way that I've been doing things is not working, and so I guess maybe I need to do something else, work a different way. And so when we have John pushing for this, we see obviously saying, the way that God intended for us humans to live, we're not doing that. We weren't doing that. We were missing, as Todd says a lot, Dallas Willard says, we were missing the mark of what it meant to really be human, really be a child of God. And so Jesus came to show us what that really looked like, how to really be someone who follows God, who really comes to show, here's how you really be fully human, fully someone devoted to God. And then so that way for us, repentance comes and says, yes, that's the way it's supposed to be, not my way. And so now, knowing that there is forgiveness and mercy from me, from God to me, I can now turn and follow God the way that he intended for me to do. And that was all ushered in from Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. And then it says he also ushered in repentance and baptism. We at Snow Hill baptize. We baptize by allowing people who say they want to repent, they want to see the way of God as the real way to live and to experience forgiveness and love and mercy. And so we say, we're going to turn from doing our own thing to being caught up in this bigger story of following God. And so we baptize, because baptism, is it something magical that occurs? No. There's nothing magical that happens from baptism, we believe. But what we believe is that it is a sign. We are showing the world that we want to follow Jesus, that we want to be a light into this world, that we want to be the way that God intended for us to be. And so that's why we baptize. And so you have John saying, here we go. I'm preparing the way. They said, I'm preparing the way by doing these things for Jesus. For Jesus to come here on earth, and really, he's like, I'm just preparing the way. I'm not anybody special. I'm just showing you what's going to happen. And then Jesus comes in and turns everything around. and shows everybody what it really means to follow, what it looks like to follow God. And then he is put to death and is raised from the dead. And we, as followers of Jesus now, we're in this waiting time. This time where we are waiting, where we have faith and believe that whenever that time is right, Jesus is going to come back and is going to claim his kingdom once and for all, and everything will be made right again. But we, as we wait here, are not called to wait here twiddling our thumbs, to wait here thinking, golly, everything's getting so bad, I'm ready for Jesus to come back. We are called now to be like John the Baptist, to prepare the way, to show people what it looks like if Jesus really was in charge. And I think for a lot of us as the church, we need to understand how to do that. And by the why I say that is to understand what church really is. So I love this church. But if we are looking and basing this church off of what the idea of church should be in our culture and what it has been based on over the last 30, 40, 50 years, this church is not that impressive. This church isn't very big. We don't have people just lined up to come in here. We don't have more than one service. We don't have, even though I love all of our volunteers here that puts effort into making our music and our worship better, we don't have a slew of professional musicians that have 15 different instruments in here. We just don't have that. We're not a place that serves, you know, cappuccinos and lattes and all these things. We serve coffee. And if you're over there by my sensor class, you're lucky if you find some sugar or creamer. Okay, that's where we're at here. We don't have a lot of money. There are some months that we're very thankful that we can take care of everything. We don't have a lot of, what do we call, audio-visual cool things going on in our service. To be honest, look, I mean, if you're reading me with me over here, I'm looking at this one right here, and I'm listening to the words, and I have to do this a little bit because it's crooked a little bit. Someone probably, maybe one of them from my basketball team, threw a ball up there and hit it, and it's a little crooked, okay? So it's kind of, hopefully your neck doesn't hurt. So to say all that, we don't have those cool things. We're just not that very, we're not that impressive. And that is why I love this church. Amen. Because it is time for us as followers of Jesus to understand that preparing the way isn't about a single service one day a week. It's not. Let's think about this. Our service here, let's say we all come to Sunday school and then we come to church. About 3 hours, say from 9 to 12. I knew usually we kind of say 11:30, but Doc gets kind of long-winded every once in a while, okay? So let's just say 3 hours, okay? There's 168 hours, I believe, in a week. That's less than 2% of your time. Say you sleep, let's say, well, hang on now, you can't forget about sleeping. That's some of the time. Okay, let's say you sleep 10 hours. Who sleeps 10 hours a day? Right, yeah. But let's just say we sleep 10 hours, okay? Then it puts it to where it's in between 3 and 4% of your week is focused with this service right here. That's not a very big time. Now, what am I saying? Am I saying that this service that we have, this time that we have here, isn't important? By no means. It is a needed time for us to come and to let Rusty and his group lead us in worship in songs, to go and find a group of people that you can chit-chat and discuss following Jesus with in Sunday school, that you can come here and be encouraged by the scriptures and by preaching from Todd and all of these guys here. Those things are absolutely important for us. They are inspirational to us, and we need that. But that can't be the church. That's not what it is. And because our culture is trying to push that that's what it is, well, a lot of people is going to leave because it's not that impressive. So we have to understand as followers of Jesus that preparing the way is not about a service. But it's about the good news of Jesus every day, every week, of every year. The church, and I hope I don't upset someone here, but I need you to understand, the church should not be known more for a religious service that occurs once a week than be known for its devotion to its community and its love for its neighbor. It shouldn't. It should be known for, just as Jesus says later on in a couple chapters, what does he say? He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That is what church is. It's a community of people that believe that there's something different with Jesus and finding ways to be a signpost to show people, listen, when God comes back, everything will be made right again. And so I want to show you just a glimpse of what that looks like. And so we're going to devote our life to showing people what that looks like. As individuals, but even more as a community, as people coming together, not just for one little time a week, but on a regular basis, doing other things than just what is usually done on Sunday morning to show people the love and kindness and grace of God. That's what church is. And I believe that's what church was intended to be. But we have gotten away from it. And here's what I say. What do we do? What do we do if we believe that this is it, that church isn't an event, but church is a movement, just a whole livelihood of following Jesus? Then I would say, I'm not very smart. Don't get that thinking that for sure. But here's my suggestions. One, here, as a community that God has called together, we keep doing what we're doing. So when I'm coming up here and I'm saying these things that I feel like that we need to understand, I tell you, that's why I am here. Because our church grasped that idea. That it's not just about a single service, but it's about what can our church do for our whole community to show them that God's love is unconditional. And we do a lot of things to show that in our community. And for that, not just me or the staff, but the community is thankful for. I can't tell you how many times that we come on Wednesdays when we're helping people, whether it's with food, whether it's with clothes, whether it's with medical stuff, and say, you just don't understand how thankful we are of this church. Because here's another situation, another idea. If our idea is church being a religious service that looks like this, if that's all that church is, then why do those people, precious people, who come on Wednesday evenings, call this their church? We don't have a service. We don't have music. We don't have Todd coming up here to preach. Why would they call this their church then? Because it's the people of God loving them unconditionally. This is where they experience Jesus here. And so they say, this is our church. And you know what our response is? Absolutely. You bet it is. And we are so glad that you come. And so we keep doing what we're doing. But then we have some other, I have some other ideas too. Okay. Of course, you knew I was going to have some other ideas. One of the important things for us to grasp and to understand, if we believe that the churches, and as I said, don't be going out here and say, Nathan says we don't ever have to come to church service again because it's not that important. It's no, didn't say that. It is important, but it must go past this. So if the church is a community of people trying to show the unconditional love of God to their community, to their world, then that means that if you want to be involved in that, you have to understand something. That you're probably not going to agree with everything that is done here. You're probably going to wish we would do some things different. And that's okay. That's okay. I would plead with you, don't make that a deal breaker on getting involved in what God has in store for you and for this community with you in it. Don't let that. We always kid with our good friend Charlie Stroud. Charlie Stroud, if it was up to him, we'd probably do music on Sunday mornings a little differently. But I am so thankful that he has never let that hinder him from being involved in what God is doing here at Snow Hill. You know why? Because if he would let that hinder what his calling was, there would be so many people that come here on Wednesdays that wouldn't be ministered to, wouldn't be listened, wouldn't be accepted, and wouldn't be prayed for. And that's the truth. Because he understands that his preferences are just that. Preferences. And not at the end of the day isn't a dividing factor for if he's going to be involved in the moving love of God here at Snow Hill. And that's for all of us. I promise you, there are things that you and I would probably see different. And that's okay. That's the beautiful picture of what the church should be. Is, hey, we're a lot of people who probably don't see things eye to eye, but more than anything, we know that God came, sent His Son Jesus to show us that there is forgiveness of sin, and it is ushered in by us loving and showing Jesus' unconditional love to this world, be like, yep, I'm in on that. I'm in. There might be some other things that I would rather our service be like. There might be some things that I would rather our church have or our church not have, but that's okay. That's not what's going to make me not get involved in the moving love of God here at Snow Hill and in the world. And so for us, we have to say, that's okay. There's going to be differences. That's okay. And we have a lot of things that's going on. It's great. It's awesome. It's wonderful. And we are always looking for new ideas, new ways to shower and bless our community with the love of God. And so we're always looking for that. So if you have a new idea, something that you think you can plug in here, man, come let us know. And we will listen and we will figure out ways. Don't be shy or embarrassed if you feel like there's something that we can do. We will be open. It might not be exactly the way we think it should go. That's okay. That's okay. It's showing God's love some way, some fashion, some form, and that's our goal. Because as the song says, we have been rescued by the love of God. And now we have more opportunities to rescue others with the love of God. And that should be way more important than if Todd and I agree on some little idea that we call theology. Second thing. There is, we got communion. I gotta hurry. Okay, focus. Second thing, prepare the way. God has sent John to prepare the way for Jesus. Now he's asking us to prepare the way of Jesus. And that means that it's bigger than just our story. In this area, there's a church about every corner. We got a lot of them. We got a lot of churches and we got a lot of banks. I don't know what that says, but we got a lot of both. And very rarely do we see churches coming together, working together on a project, on an idea. I don't think that's the way it was intended. I think the idea, the goal would be, hey, you believe Jesus came to save us and to save us from this, all this idea. You believe he came to bring forgiveness and to love our community and to love our world. So do we. Let's figure out a way to show people that my belonging isn't to this building, but it's to a bigger story of the kingdom of God. And I think that will make an even bigger impact on those looking for something to grasp and to hold, then a lot of other things will. But it's hard. Why is it hard? Because if we try to do that, that means that my church might not get the credit. That means my church has to do something with someone down the street that, whoa, we don't see eye to eye on very, very few, very many things. So you want us to say, hey, we're going to partner with them and do these ideas and do these kingdom community-focused loving ideas and things with them that we don't see very much together? Yes. Because we do see the main objective and the main thing together. And that is God sent Jesus to save the world. And to set everything right, to show the world unconditional love. We do quite a few things together. It's funny. With God's House, we do lunch spot together. We do, they come to feed the homeless with us. We do a lot of things together. And they're not even Baptist. So that's a pretty good sign, right? Let's keep doing what we're doing then. That's a good idea to show the world. There's a story out of Durham, New, of England, just a few, it's a little bit northeast of England. And it was a story of this guy that really had this idea, this picture of what it would look like to help those individuals with special needs. And so he went to a couple churches and threw them this idea. And one church was like, we can help, but we can't be the only ones. We don't have enough funds and resources to do that. And so he's like, okay, that's okay. I'll go to another one and we'll figure it out. And now there is this building that these three different churches came together and purchased. And what is done in there is he runs this business with those who have special needs, and they mend and fix furniture. So they bring in, people bring in pieces of furniture that need to be fixed. They fix it for them. People bring in pieces of furniture that they don't want anymore. These people fix them and they sell them for someone that might want it. So it's like, okay, well, that's weird. Well, it's different. But it's this giving this whole group of people that for the most part is told they're not valuable. And saying, you do have value, you do have meaning, and we're going to come together as numerous churches come together and do this to show you you have value and you have meaning. That is being the church. That's being the church. And John said in the scripture, it says in the last verse on verse 6 of this quote from Isaiah. After it talks about John making the path straight, after he's saying he's coming to prepare the way, it says, "And all flesh will see the salvation of God." Will see the salvation of God. So, as John is pushing and talking about him baptizing so that people can see the salvation of God, we can do more than if we've been baptized, we have more responsibility to show the world salvation. It doesn't stop there. We as the church gets to show the world what salvation looks like. And again, it's much more than just what happens here 3 hours on Sunday morning. It's what we do every day, all day. What are the things that we're doing outside of this building together to really emphasize this is what the church is? It's not a building. It is a community of people devoted to following Jesus and loving the world unconditionally. And we'll start seeing people, as we already do, experience salvation. We had a lady this last Wednesday come up to me with just this huge smile on her face. And I'm like, what are you smiling for? She says, I'm here today. I came here. I drove here to tell you. This is a single mother. Been coming to our church, our food pantry and stuff for years. And she comes to me and says, I drove all the way here to tell you I don't need a box anymore. She said, some things have fell our way and I don't need it. And she said, I want one of those wish lists. Because you guys keep pouring out your love and resources to all of us, and I want to be a part of that. She saw and tasted the salvation of God, the good news of Jesus. Why? Because we understand it is not just about the service, because if it's about the service, we're not that impressive. Not saying anything about Rusty or Todd, they're great. But we're not that impressive. And that's good. Because that means we're spending more of our time and effort and energy and resources in doing what I believe Jesus called us to do. And that is making sure everyone knows and understands the love and Christ and the kingdom of God being at work here.